The Mutual Broadcasting System presents Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you Huskies!
Gold. Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon. Here's a Mutual note for you. Every weekday afternoon at 5 o'clock over Mutual, it's time for the children's hour. For mothers faced with the problem of getting the youngsters to settle down for a quiet time before supper, there are stories to intrigue any child's imagination. Wholesome and daring adventure in a never-never land of fanciful and delightful characters is presented every weekday afternoon. There are songs and stories of the kind children love best, including the folk songs of our own American West, the sad song of the cowboy, alone under a starry sky, and the gay tunes of the roundup and the cattle drive keep young listeners spellbound. Every kid loves a cowboy, and all the color and drama of life on the range is found in these melodies of the wide open spaces. The door is open to adventure and musical entertainment for children every weekday afternoon over Mutual. Tots, toddlers, and the young in heart will delight in these programs that bring the world of fancy to colorful life. Tune to Mutual every weekday afternoon and hear them all over most of these stations. It was early evening in Dawson. Sergeant Preston and his great dog, Yukon King, were alone in police headquarters. The Mountie sat at a desk, completing a written report of his recent patrol. King lay on the floor with his nose close to the door. Presently, the big dog stirred.
All right, King, I'm finished. I'll seal the report and leave it for the inspector, and then we'll take our walk. What is it, boy? Someone coming? Well, that answers my question.
May I come in?
Of course.
A slender girl stepped into the room and threw back the hood of her parka. She was about 20 years old. And as beautiful as any girl the Mountie had ever seen.
Let me help you out of your parka.
Oh, thank you. I'm covered with snow.
I'll hang it near the stove here. It'll dry in a short time.
You're a sergeant, aren't you?
Yes, my name's Preston.
I'm Judy Jackson. Oh, what a handsome dog. Is he yours?
Yes, his name's King.
Hello, King. Sergeant, may I sit down?
Oh, yes, of course. Here's a chair.
Oh, it's good to sit down. I'm exhausted. I've come all the way from Alaska.
Well, how'd you travel?
I walked. I was fortunate enough to find people on the way who let me sleep in their cabins and gave me food.
Well, why'd you come here?
I intended to go to the hotel, but I saw a light in this office.
Why did you come to Dawson?
Oh, well, I came to find my uncle.
Does he live in Dawson?
Well, his last letter was mailed from Dawson, but that was over a year ago. His name is Ben Barber.
Ben Barber? Is he your uncle?
Then you do know him. Is he rich and mean and selfish?
Where'd you get that opinion of Ben Barber?
From my mother. She was his sister. She died last year.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I've never seen my uncle.
Then why are you looking for him now?
Because he stole $5,000 from my mother, and I want that money.
He stole it?
Yes. It's money that my grandfather left hidden in his home when he died in Alaska a long time ago. There was a will telling where the cash was hidden, and saying that Mother and Ben were to share it equally. But Ben had already found the money and left the country.
You sure of that?
Yes, he wrote to my mother from Dawson. He admitted taking the money and promised to return it.
Didn't he keep his word?
No. My mother died a year ago, just after the death of my father. I wrote a letter to Ben, and I didn't mince words. I told him to send me the money, or I'd turn the matter over to the authorities.
Did you hear from him?
Yes. He said he was very wealthy, but that he was an old man living alone. He offered to share everything with me if I'd come here to keep house for him.
So you came?
I came to collect, but not to keep house.
Oh.
I'm in love with a fine man in Alaska. I'm going back there to marry him.
Does he know you came here?
Oh, no. He'd have insisted on coming with me. He had to go to the States on business. So I decided to make the trip and have a showdown with him while he's away.
Does your uncle know you're coming?
No.
Have you any proof of his indebtedness?
Yes, his letters to my mother and me. Please tell me what you know about Ben.
Very little. I've seen him a few times. He comes into town about once a month to buy supplies. The rest of the time, he remains at his cabin. No one knows him very well.
Where is his cabin?
On the river bank, about halfway between here and Powder Bend.
How far is that?
About 8 hours by dog sled.
Dog sled?
I'm starting a patrol in that direction tomorrow morning, Miss Jackson. If you'd like, you may ride on my sled.
Oh, that'd be fine. I'd appreciate the lift.
We'll start early.
Very well. I'll go to the hotel and take a room. I'm sure I'll have no trouble collecting from that old skinflint if you're with me. He'd hardly dare refuse to...
Sergeant Preston, I hoped you'd be here.
Hello, Constable.
Oh.
Miss Jackson, may I present Constable Baker?
How do you do?
How do you do?
Baker, you came in as if you brought news.
Yes, it's word of a shooting and a robbery.
Let's have it.
Someone robbed the express office.
Who was shot?
Lem Peavy, the agent. He was in the office working on his records.
Killed?
No, but he's unconscious. I don't know how seriously he's hurt. He was shot in the chest. I stayed with him until the doctor arrived.
I'll be with you as soon as I get into my parka. Miss Jackson, stay here as long as you care to. I'll see you in the morning. Ready, Constable?
Ready.
Come on, King. How long ago did the robbery take place, Baker?
No one seems to know.
Didn't anyone hear the shot?
No, the freight office is apart from other buildings. Apparently, the office door was closed and there was no one nearby.
Any idea when the shot was fired?
From the amount of bleeding, I'd say Peavy must have been there unconscious for some time before I saw him.
How'd you know of it?
Jack Smith was on his way home from the cafe. There was a light in the window of the office, so he looked inside and saw Peavy on the floor. He hurried back to the cafe and told me about it. I went there with him, then sent him for the doctor while I examined Peavy and applied first aid. I could see that the safe was open and empty.
Baker, you said that Peavy had been shot in the chest.
That's right.
In that case, he must have seen the man who shot him.
Yes. Let's hope he regains consciousness so he can tell us who it was, or at least describe him.
Sergeant Preston and the constable found Lem Peavy flat on his back on the office floor. He was still unconscious, and the doctor was at his side. Word of the shooting had reached the cafe, and a number of morbidly curious men were in the room.
Please, all of you now. Clear out.
Do you want to talk to me, Sergeant? I'm Jack Smith. I was the first man to see Peavy on the floor.
Not now, Smith. Maybe I'll want to question you later.
Oh, well, if you do, I'll be home.
Thanks very much. Close that door, will you, please?
How is Peavy, Doctor?
The wound is serious, but not critical. He should recover unless there's infection.
Has he been unconscious ever since you arrived?
Yes, Sergeant.
I see you dressed the wound. What about the bullet?
I extracted it. It was not very deep. Here it is.
A ball.
From an old-fashioned cap and ball pistol, huh, Sergeant?
Yes.
Say, that might mean something. Do you remember the inspector telling about a crook who uses a cap and ball gun?
The man known as Captain Jenks.
That's right. I wonder if this is his work.
Might be, Constable. It might be.
Who is Captain Jenks?
An outlaw who has struck at a number of communities. He's robbed many people and shot several of them. Two have died at his hand.
Where does he get the name?
He's called himself Captain Jenks. He wears an old United States Army uniform and covers his face with a blue bandana.
I see.
And he uses a cap and ball pistol.
Peavy may be able to describe the man when he regains consciousness.
Any idea when that might be?
No. No, it might be hours. Meanwhile, I'd like to move the man to my home. I have better facilities.
We'll move him, Doctor.
Shall I get the stretcher at headquarters?
Yes, Constable, if you please. While you're gone, I'll see if there's anything around here in the way of clues.
In the home of the doctor, a night-long vigil began. Preston and the constable, as well as the doctor, remained at Peavy's side while King lay near the door. The dog slept, and the men were dozing when at daybreak there was a flutter of Lem Peavy's eyelids and a low moan.
Doctor?
I'm awake.
I think this is it.
Steady,
Lem. You're all right.
Take it easy.
Doc. Sergeant Preston.
You've been wounded. You're in the doctor's home, and you're going to be all right.
Here, Lem. Swallow of water. Just open your mouth a bit.
Thanks.
Lem, must ask you a couple of questions. We want the man who shot you, but we haven't a single clue on which to work.
Robbed the safe?
Yes, he cleaned out the safe in your office. Did you see him?
Not his face.
You didn't see his face. Why? Was it covered?
Yes.
By a blue bandana with holes for the eyes?
That's right.
How was the man dressed?
Uniform. United States Army.
That's what I thought. How'd he get into the office?
I heard a rap on the back door.
Don't tire yourself, Lem.
No, it's all right. I want to tell it. I heard a rap and opened the door. He stood there holding a gun on me. He backed me in the room and then closed the door. He held a knapsack. He maybe put the cash from the safe inside the knapsack.
Then shot you.
Yeah, he said it was too risky for Captain Jenks to leave a survivor. Then he shot me. Went out the back door.
You saw him leave?
Yes. I didn't lose consciousness. Not right away. I tried to call for help, but I couldn't raise my voice. And I guess I lost consciousness.
He's talked enough for now.
Please, Doctor, I'm nearly through. Lem, can you tell us anything further?
No, that's all.
Do you remember what time it was when you opened the door for the thief?
Yes, it was just 7:30. I remember looking at the clock.
Did the thief have a sled and a dog team?
No, sir.
You sure of that?
Well, he might have had one on the frozen river, Sergeant.
Huh.
I couldn't see that far because it was snowing hard.
Did he come from the direction of the river?
Yes, I think so. I noticed his footprints in the snow. They were in a straight line towards the river as far as I could see.
Thanks, Lem. Thanks a lot.
Do you think King can get the scent of the thief?
I doubt it, Doctor. There are a lot of people around the office. No way for King to identify the right scent.
That's too bad. Tracks are unquestionably filled in by now.
They were filled in by the time the constable reached Peavy.
Seems like we'll have a blind chase, Sergeant. It's a toss-up whether the crook traveled upriver or down.
Nevertheless, Constable, we must try to find him. I'll follow the river and inquire at every cabin we see. You go one way, I'll go the other.
Very well.
I've already arranged to go toward Powder Bend.
Then I'll take the opposite direction.
Start dust as soon as you pack your gear and line your team.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. This is the beginning of National Farm Safety Week. An innocent and rather unexciting designation until you learn the price of carelessness on the nation's farms. Records of the National Safety Council show that 15,500 farm residents die in accidents every year, and 1,300,000 are injured. Unless special care is exercised, 1952 will show an appalling toll of farm accidents. 4,000 farmers will be killed in work accidents. 6,000 will be killed and 2,200 injured in motor car accidents. One out of 19 farm residents will suffer a disabling injury. And one out of every six farms will be hit by an accident of one kind or another. And the same frightful loss in property as in lives. Accidents affecting farm people cost about $1 billion. And every hour of every day of every week in the year, four farm buildings will be damaged or destroyed. All this because care and safety were largely overlooked. Don't let it happen. Now to continue. With Judy Jackson riding his sled, Sergeant Preston guided his dog team along the frozen river in the direction of Powder Bend. He stopped at every cabin on the way and made inquiry. But no one had seen the mysterious outlaw known as Captain Jenks. It was mid-afternoon when the Mountie reached the two-room cabin of Ben Barber, the miserly uncle of Judy.
Hulking! Hi, Hussie! On a hole!
Is this where my uncle lives?
Yes.
Well, why in the world does he live so far from Dawson?
Probably because he likes to be alone.
Does he walk all the way to town for supplies?
Yes, he has no dog team.
And he carries the supplies on his back?
That's right.
Ah, he must be rugged for a man his age.
Come in.
Golly, I wonder how he'll receive me.
Open the door wide and come in slow.
Steady, King.
Mountie.
Well, hello, Ben. Put away your gun.
What do you want?
It's a friendly call. Put down the gun or my dog might jump you.
Say, aren't you Sergeant Preston?
That's right.
Oh, then I'll put aside the shooting iron. Can't take chances living alone like this. I never know when someone will try to rob me.
You expect a thief to wear this uniform?
A crook might steal a uniform. I'll close that door. That dog!
Quiet, King.
I don't like dogs.
He'll not hurt you unless you start something.
Well, what do you want, and who's the girl? She... Hold still, girl. Let me look at you.
Well?
I can't believe it. What's your name?
Judy Jackson.
I knew it, by thunder. Judy, my niece. You're the image of your mother. Sakes alive, I'm glad to see you. Did you come all the way from Alaska?
Yes, I did, and you probably know why I'm here.
Yes. Yes, of course I do. I've been waiting and hoping and praying that you'd come here. Seems like a long time since I wrote that letter to you.
Then this girl told me you stole some money from her mother.
I don't deny that, Sergeant Preston. In fact, I admitted as much when I wrote to my poor sister. It was a long, long time ago. I was young and foolish. My father died and left around $10,000.
I've told the sergeant how you ran away with all of the money, including the half which should have gone to my mother.
Judy, I told your mother I'd return her share.
Yes, but you didn't keep your word.
Honey, I didn't have the cash at the time. All my money was tied up in a gold mine. I had to sell out to raise the cash. By the time I had the money, your dear mother, my sister, had passed on. I replied to your letter. I told you I had a lot of cash and that I'd share it with
you. If I came here to keep house for you. Well, I'm not going to keep house, and I'm not going to stay here.
I hoped you would, Judy. I'm an old man.
I'm sorry, but I have interests in Alaska, and I'm going back there as soon as you hand over my mother's share of Grandpa's estate, plus interest.
All right, Judy, if that's what you want. I hoped you were here to stay, but...
That's out of the question.
Then I'll give you the cash. I'm glad the sergeant is here. He'll see that you're not robbed. But you didn't need to bring him to help you collect.
I didn't come for that reason, Ben. I'm looking for a thief.
A thief?
A man who robbed the freight office in Dawson last night.
Sakes alive. Did he come this way?
I don't know. Have you seen anyone pass by on the way from Dawson?
No one but the soldier.
Tell me about him.
There's not much to tell. He stopped and wanted to buy some grub and sleep here for a spell.
Did you let him in?
Not by a jugful. I'm suspicious of strangers. Well, you saw how I was when you came here, Sergeant.
Did you see the soldier's face?
Well, sure I did. I told you I talked to him. What's more, I held a gun at him all the time we were talking.
Describe him, Ben.
Yeah, there's not much to tell. He seemed to be about 35 or 40 years old. He had a lean face. He was clean shaved and wore an old army uniform.
How was he traveling?
On foot.
Did he have a pack?
He had a knapsack strapped to his shoulders.
What time did he come here?
Well, it was about noon, and he looked mighty tired. But I couldn't risk letting him into this cabin. I told him about an old abandoned cabin a few miles from here on the riverbank. I suggested he go there and sleep.
Are you sure it was noon?
Maybe half an hour, more or less. Do you think he's the man you're looking for?
Yes, Ben. I think he's known as Captain Jenks and wanted for a number of crimes. King, come on, boy. Line the team, King. Line them up.
Are you leaving, Sergeant Preston?
Yes, Judy. I'm sure you'll have no trouble.
Well, if you're talking about trouble with me, I guarantee there'll be no trouble. I aim to try to make amends for what I've done. I'm going to return the money I stole, plus a handsome share of what I made on my gold claim.
Uncle Ben, I'm sorry I wrote such a harsh letter.
Oh, that's all right, Judy. I reckon I had it coming.
If you're returning this way, Sergeant, I'll wait here and go back to Dawson with you.
Very well. I'll see you later.
He's a wonderful man.
Yes, Judy, I agree with you. Judy.
Just a minute, Uncle Ben. I want to watch the sergeant and his team.
Judy stood at a small window and watched until Sergeant Preston and his team, traveling along the riverbank, had disappeared around a bend. Then she turned toward her uncle. His expression made her gasp.
Uncle Ben!
The look of repentance was gone from Ben's face. Now his eyes were hard and cold, and his lips were drawn back in a mirthless grin.
What's the matter?
Figured you come here and take my hard-earned money, eh?
But I...
You're not getting a dime from me, not one thin dime.
So that's it. You were putting on an act when the Mountie was here. For a few minutes you had me fooled.
You're not the only one I fooled. I fooled that Mountie, too. And lots of others.
You're just as mean and crooked as I thought you were. I came here to collect, and I intend to do it.
You talk big.
A gun?
Yes, and I know how to use it.
You wouldn't dare. Sergeant Preston will see that you hang if anything happens to me.
The sergeant and everyone else will blame it on Captain Jenks. Especially when they see that you've been shot with a cap and ball pistol.
A cap and ball?
The same weapon that was used on the freight agent in Dawson and on a number of other men.
That's not a cap and ball pistol.
No, Judy, not this one. The gun and clothes of Captain Jenks are right here in this trunk. Now stand still. Don't you make a move.
Gun? Clothes? You're Captain Jenks.
Here's the cap and ball gun.
You're the one who's been committing all the robberies. You're the one the law's been looking for. You're Captain Jenks.
Well, you might say I made his reputation for him. The original Captain Jenks has been in his grave since the day he came here several years ago. He wanted food. I turned him down and he pulled a gun on me. This cap and ball gun. I jumped him. He fired and missed. We fought. I won.
You killed him.
Self-defense.
You killed him and hid his body.
Yeah. I buried him.
You kept his gun and uniform. And since then, you've been robbing people and using his name.
Smart, eh? It sure fooled all those Mounties. They've been hunting for a man who's been dead for years.
You must have stolen thousands of dollars.
Right. I've piled up a fortune in cash. And got square with a lot of my enemies while doing it.
Enemies?
Yes. Men who looked down on me when I was broke. Men who laughed at me for living like a hermit. Men who called me ugly names and said mean things. I'm getting square with all of them. I'm having the last laugh.
You're mad.
Just one or two more I've got to get, then I'll have the slate wiped clean. I'll take my money and go to the States. And I'll know that there's no one who ever was mean to Ben Barber and got away with it.
Uncle Ben...
Don't you talk soft to me! I know what you think of me. I know what you said in that letter. Called me mean and selfish and dishonest.
Please, Uncle Ben... Lower those guns and listen to me.
No, you told people I stole from your mother.
You admitted it.
Yes, and that gives you a claim on some of my money. Well, I'm settling that claim, see? I'll tell Preston that Captain Jenks came back here, used his gun, shot you, slugged me, and went away.
You'll not fool Sergeant Preston.
I've already fooled him. I've sent him on a wild goose chase, and I'll fool him again. He'll believe the story I tell him. Too bad you won't be alive to see how right I am. The door.
Help!
Hold it!
What? Sergeant Preston!
What's going on?
You're covered, Preston. I'm holding two guns. I'm watching you too, Judy. Either of you make a move and I'll start shooting.
Sergeant Preston, he's mad.
Get your hands up, Preston. That's it. Now step in here.
Sergeant Preston... That's a cap and ball gun in his left hand.
So I see.
Judy, close that door.
He's Captain James.
I said close the door.
Yes, I am.
Now take that Mountie's handcuffs from his belt. Snap them on his wrists.
So you are Captain Jenks, eh, Barbara?
Judy knows all about it. Careful, Judy. Don't try anything that'll cause me to shoot right away. I've got a lot to say before I finish you two. I'd hate to have to kill you before I finish. Now take his gun.
All right.
Yeah. Surprised, eh, Preston?
Not as surprised as you might suppose, Ben.
You are surprised. You never suspected I was Captain Jenks. Drop the gun to the floor, Judy.
I suspected you had some reason for lying to me, Ben. That's why I circled back here.
You lie. You didn't suspect a thing. How could you?
You told me that a man in uniform had left here around noon. I knew that couldn't be true.
How? How could you know that?
The snow stopped falling in mid-morning. If you'd told the truth, there would have been tracks of the man coming to this cabin and going away from it.
Oh, so that's it. Huh. Careless mistake I made. Funny, though. You're the one who'll pay for that mistake, not me.
Are you going to shoot both Judy and me?
Yes.
He'll say Captain Jenks did it.
No, he'll not, Judy. He's through.
Through, am I?
That's right, Ben. Did you think I was coming here only to walk into a trap like this?
You did come here and walk into a trap. That's why you're standing there with your own handcuffs on your wrists.
Ben, I told you I circled back to approach this cabin from another direction. Before I came to the door, I stopped at the bedroom window. I placed something in your bedroom, just in case you tried something of this sort.
What was it?
You might refer to it as an explosive force.
An explosive? You mean a bomb? No, you couldn't have done that. You Mounties don't carry bombs.
I didn't say it was a bomb, exactly.
Well, whatever it is, thanks for telling me. You were a fool to warn me, Preston. I'll see that whatever you put in the bedroom doesn't explode. Now stand still, both of you. Don't move or I'll shoot.
The half-mad Ben Barber backed to the door that opened into the bedroom. He stuck one of the two guns into his pocket, then reached behind his back and gripped the door latch. The door swung out about 6 inches. Then Sergeant Preston shouted,
"Bring him, King!"
King hit the door from the inside, slamming it against Ben. Then the dog was through the opening, leaping and gripping the hand that held the gun, and Sergeant Preston was in action. Ben went to the floor in frenzied efforts to break away from the huge dog. Preston was on him in an instant. He grabbed the gun, tore it from Barbara's fingers, took the other weapon from his pocket, and then stepped back.
That's it, King. Down, boy.
It was a dog. Nothing but a dog you had in that bedroom.
Stand up, Barbara.
You fooled me. You tricked me. You outsmarted me.
You outsmarted yourself by thinking you were bigger than the law.
Just
Judy,
a dog.
The key to these handcuffs in the pocket of my tunic.
This pocket?
No, the other side.
Oh.
Can you unfasten the cuffs while I hold the gun on, Barbara?
Yes. I have the key.
We'll probably find most of the stolen money, possibly all of it, in this cabin.
Oh, I'm sure you will, Sergeant. There. Now you're free.
As for the money Barbara stole from your mother,
That was probably lost long ago. I'm sure there'll not be enough cash left after restoring what was stolen.
Even so, Judy, you'll not have had this trip for nothing. I'm sure there'll be a substantial share of reward money for you.
Oh.
And we'll see that you don't have to walk back to Alaska. These cuffs are for you, Barbara. You're under arrest in the name of the Crown.
The end of Captain Jenks.
Yes, Ben. The case of Captain Jenks is closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. Here's a Mutual note for you. Mornings are merry when you stay tuned to Mutual. Every weekday morning, you can hear programs guaranteed to put the shine in your day. There's Ladies' Fair with Tom Moore as your laugh-gathering host, and the Carnival of Quizzes, Music, and Fun for All. 5 minutes of news keep you up to date on the latest happenings around the world. With political campaigns getting hotter by the moment, you'll welcome this brief headline digest. You can hear the program that turns wishes into reality, Queen for a Day. Someone new is chosen every day to have her fondest wish granted and to rule regally for 24 hours. It's a fairy story with a happy ending every time you hear Queen for a Day. And for the song that makes any day a better one, you can listen to the sweet melody of Kurt Massey Time. Kurt, together with Martha Tilton and Country Washburn's Orchestra, brings you your favorite music, old and new, gay and blue. Remember, it's a good morning on Mutual every morning when you stay tuned for Ladies' Fair, the news, Queen for a Day, and Kurt Massey Time all over most of these stations. Sergeant Preston entered the trading post at Elk Fork in the far north country.
Hello, Hank. How are you?
Well, fine, Sergeant. You're the second money to come by today. A young fella named Edwards came in. He's taken back a prisoner.
Bob Edwards?
Yeah.
Well, I helped train him. I'd catch up to him if I weren't going the other way.
I'd rather travel alone. He's mean-tempered. Accused me of short waiting on the bacon. Looked straight through me with those steely blue eyes like he wanted to tear me apart. What?
Bob Edwards has brown eyes, and he's far from mean-tempered. Something wrong there, Hank. I'm going after that officer and find out what it is.
Sergeant Preston and King little realize the strange situation they'll find themselves in. The young Mountie and both Preston and King face death at the hands of a killer. Be sure to hear this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Fred Flowerday, and supervised by Charles D. Livingston. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Sunday. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye and good luck until Sunday. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.